This is Michael Gonneau with the Middle East Research Center Limited, and this is Insight to Israel. I want to thank America's Web Radio for allowing us to air Insight to Israel and bring the truth to the grassroots of the United States of America, the greatness of the Jewish state, its contribution to the world, and its struggle for sovereignty and security. Thank you, America's Web Radio. We certainly do appreciate it. And I also want to say thank you to those who have gone onto my Facebook page, that's Michael Gonneau, G-A-N-O-E, and who have contributed to Hershey's for Heroes. Now, you may ask, what is Hershey's for Heroes? Here in Israel, all of the young people must serve. The men serve 3 years in the Army or the Air Force or the Navy. The young ladies serve for 2 years. And it's mandatory. And so, you know, it's not always appreciated, but when it's expected, sometimes we go about our lives because this is what bonds the Jewish people together in Israel, is their service to the military. But I just wanted to work on this special project called Hershey's for Heroes, where Americans are sending Hershey's chocolate bars to Israel. Each individual chocolate bar has a note of thankfulness to every soldier, thanking them for defending the Jewish state with their name and the state that they're from in the U.S. And so far, it's been a very blessed project that many Americans have contributed to. And I want to say thank you to the folks in West Virginia, because you are number one, the number one state that's given the most chocolate bars. So thank you. And then we're going to take, when I reach the number of 500, we're going to take all 500 of those chocolate bars. I'm going to video. I have a little pair of glasses that have an HD camera. And we're going to video the reaction of these young soldiers, which you will find they are grateful. They're the best. They're honorable. They're respectful. And they love their country. They do it willingly to serve, even though it's mandatory. And we're going to give them a chocolate bar and say thank you from the United States of America, from the grassroots level, for defending the Jewish state. So if you want to contribute to Hershey's for Heroes, please contact America's Web Radio, and they will follow up with me, and I will get the information to you, or you can go to my Facebook page at Michael Gonneau. So, moving forward, I am back with Joseph. This is number two interview with Joseph Tzedok. Tzedok, I said that right.
Tzedok.
Joseph is an Israeli from Yemen.
Yeah.
That came here as a small child. I'm going to recap a little bit from our prior interview just this past Sunday. But if I understand correctly, a rabbi came to your family, came to Yemen, and said, you must go back to Israel.
Yeah.
And Joseph came to Israel in a box on the side of a donkey, and his brother on the other side in a box on the side of a donkey.
He was six months old.
Can't even imagine such a journey. What great parents to be willing to trek that far, to go that far from Yemen. And like you had stated earlier, risk your life because there's thieves and robbers along the
way from Sana'a to Aden, to the port of Aden.
Yeah,
this is what happened. But thanks God that we moved. We had a very very good guy that he took care for all of us on the way, and so we arrived to Aden safely.
Good.
And we met some relative that he took care for us when we arrived to Aden. But to come to Israel, we needed certificate to come to Israel. And at that time, certificate, it could be one for family, whole family, or one for somebody that it's alone.
Right.
So it was there a young man that he has the certificate, So the relative asked him, you know, here we have a big family, 10 people, include one that we took it with us from Yemen.
You took a little boy with you.
A little boy, yeah, that he wasn't part of our family, but we saved him from the Islamic.
From the Muslims.
Yeah, the Muslims, because their his parents dead, and when some Jewish boy that he dead, so they took him and they made him an Islamic.
Wow, wow.
This is what happened. So he came with us. It was the ship that they put, but we didn't have money for sailing to
Israel. For sailing to Israel,
yeah.
Wow.
So we sent, our relative sent telegram to our relatives in Israel, so, and they,
They borrowed money. Wow.
20 pounds at that time. So one, it was one that he waited for a jewelry that somebody gave us to give it to him. And so he took, he thought about his jewelry, so he agreed to give 10 pounds. Other relatives took from many people in Israel at that time, because it was a lot of money, and they sent us 20 pounds. By this way, we could go up.
Take the sailboat. Wow. Joseph, that's a fascinating story. Let me sidetrack here. First of all, thank you for inviting me again into your home.
You're welcome.
And we're sitting on a rooftop at Joseph's house in Holon, Israel. And this view is magnificent, and it's amazing that you've put this whole house pretty much together by yourself over the years.
Yeah.
You have a beautiful home, and it's what a beautiful evening here. I wish that the listeners could be here, because it's a beautiful night. I mean, this weather's perfect.
Yeah, it's
perfect. Anyway, so, Joseph, you've had an interesting life, and I can't imagine, because I've never... I just can't fathom it, and I respect you. And look, it seems for you it's the norm. It's just the way life was. But someone for me and the listeners, who we've never really had to go through those things. It's we thank God that you are here, because I'm sure that many people that were on that same journey, they weren't so lucky.
Yeah, that's right.
And so we thank God that you're here. You and your wife, and you created a big family. We'll talk about your family later, but. Let's move forward a little bit, because you talked about your boyhood days and school and everything in the last radio broadcast, that people can go to the America's Web Radio website and listen to the last broadcast on there. But let's move forward to when you went into the Paul Mock. When you went in, how old were you?
Almost between 16 and a half, 17.
16 and a half, 17 years old.
Yeah.
So during that time, my first question is, what was going on? What was what was Israel like during that time? Because it wasn't declared a Jewish state yet. What was Israel like at that age?
About, you know, how they lived.
Yeah, how was the life in Israel?
The life people had, to find work, and the salary, it was not good at all. It was people they fight for their lives.
Yeah.
This is what's happened. For example, my brother, we lived in Jerusalem at that time. And my brothers, the older brothers, they left Jerusalem and they tried to come to some farmers to work there, or to try to build, for example, Holon, started to build, because it was like a desert. All Holland that now, above of 100,000 people are living here in Holland. But at that time, it was nothing.
Wow.
Almost nothing.
So at that time, even in all of, well, it wasn't declared a state yet, but realistically, the Muslims had done nothing with this area, with the whole entire. I'm sure that there were a few small villages or what have you, but overall, it was, like you said, it wasn't really inhabited. So your brothers came here to Holland.
They came to Holland because by this way they could get money.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it was terrible, you know, to stay in Jerusalem, because they didn't have work, and they started to study how to build houses and
nice.
how to tile.
Yeah.
And by this way, even my oldest brother, at that time they started in the Dead Sea to build big drums for the ashlag, for the
minerals,
yeah. Yeah. So he worked there that everybody could work, because he made the tile around the drums.
Yeah, he made the tile around the drums.
Yeah. And he was inside of them. And in the Dead Sea, it was very, very hot there.
Yeah, it's very hot down there.
Yeah, so only unique people could do this kind of work.
Wow.
But by the and he left his family here. He went from Sunday to Friday to work there, and only at Friday
came back on Shabbat.
And otherwise, he couldn't, you know, give food for his children or his wife.
Wow, because for the listeners that haven't been to Israel, down around the Dead Sea, and I'm sure people have seen pictures, it's very hot and very desert. It's desert. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So what was the average pay then? Did they have shekels or?
No, at that time it was British...
British pounds.
Pounds. British pounds,
What would you say the...
And I can tell you that, for example, my father, he got £2... £2 for a month.
For a month?
Yeah. And with this, he has to calculate everything, but it wasn't enough. So by this way, we couldn't...
it was hard to eat?
Yeah. So he decided to try to sell coffee.
Nice.
Yeah.
Smart man.
Yeah, but and with we didn't have stores.
We didn't have stores. Wow.
So he arranged everything at home, and then before we went to school, so we had clients. We had clients. That before that we went to school, went to the houses of...
And took them coffee.
We gave them the coffee, and of course my father got a little more money to let us to live better.
Wow, that's I mean, sometimes we sit around and we complain because we don't have something, when all we have to do is just use our smarts a little bit, our intelligence, you know, or common sense. It's a combination of all those things. Wow. Well, look, it's amazing, and this is a side note. It's amazing how today, when people have problems with money, they just get a divorce. It happens a lot. I'm having money problems, blah, 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 so let's just get a divorce. We're not happy, and it creates tension. And, of course, a lot of people today live beyond their means. But I can't, again, I'm as someone who's never really had to go through great difficulties. Of course, when you're in those difficulties, you know everybody else around you is, so it's not anything new to you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Besides that, you know, we knew that we have to calculate everything good. And we were lucky that we had a very good mommy, that she knew how to use even the cheapest things of food to make them
wow,
very good. By this way, as I know, now at that time it was Ashkenaz and not Ashkenaz.
Ashkenaz, let me clarify for the listeners. Ashkenazis, European Jews.
Yeah, that's right. And the other Jewish, that they didn't mix with each other.
Right, they didn't get together. Yeah. Wow.
So but in my family, for example, my oldest sister, she worked for the new immigrants that they came to camp. It was, of course, that we got our independence.
Right.
So she worked at the camp.
After 1948.
Yeah, after 1948. And they met there a Jewish that comes from Poland, and they loved. And when they came to my father, he gave them
his blessing.
Blessing,
yeah, yeah,
without any problem. And later, the other sister, she married with a Jewish that comes that his family from Germany.
Germany.
Yeah, but no, but they.
Yeah.
The parents were killed in the Holocaust.
Yeah, in Holocaust. And he met my sister, loves her, and he met my sister at the kibbutz.
Ah, at the kibbutz, which is a farm.
Before that, we got our independence.
Wow, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they married each other. So my family started to be together without problems with the people that they came from Europe.
No, that's good. That's good. Because at the end of the day, I'm sure you'll agree with me, you're all Jewish, and you all are fighting for your lives. So sometimes you have to not be so narrow-minded. I think sometimes narrow-minded is good as long as you have your principles. But when it comes to things like that, you're all Jewish, and the more Jewish babies we have in the world, the better.
Yeah.
So you were like 16 when you went in the Pall Mall. How did that? Did someone approach you? How'd that work? This is what interests me. I mean.
מישהו פנה לך להצטרף לשם? איך זה אחד?
No, this is, I think that I told you last time that we met each other. When I was about 12 years old.
Yeah.
And I started, to see how to go to Haganah. Haganah, so it was...
And the Haganah, let me clarify, I don't mean to interrupt you. The Haganah... was the fighting force before the IDF. You had the Haganah and the Pall Mall.
Yeah.
Can you tell us the difference for the listeners?
No, it was the Haganah. It includes the Pall Mall.
Includes the Pall Mall.
But the difference between the Pall Mall, because Pall Mall, the people, the boys in the Pall Mall, they lived in kibbutz.
Okay.
And they study 2 weeks
how to train,
yeah,
and then worked on the farms.
And two other weeks because somebody has to pay something.
Yeah.
So we paid by the work that we made, in that 2 weeks. And this helped a lot. When we started to fight against the Arabs.
Or the Muslims.
Yeah, with the Muslims.
Okay.
When we got our independence. I think that God helped us that instead of, because in 1947, the United Nations decided that we are going to get our independence.
Right.
But our independence, it comes only on May 15th, 48.
Right.
Between November 47 up to May 15th, 48. So the British, they were here, and they helped at that time the Muslims, and we couldn't, you know, come and walk free with ammunition.
Ammunition.
Yeah, we couldn't do that, because if they
found out,
so they could come and make us a prisoner.
I'm going to clarify this for the listener. I remember watching documentaries that you guys had, like laundromats where you would wash clothes, and the sounds of the washer were so loud that underneath of these laundromats you were making ammunition.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's right.
You know, this is very interesting, because the Pall Mall helped the British fight against the Germans. Am I correct in that history?
Again, please.
The Pall Mall.
Yeah.
When Hitler was coming in to, you helped the British fight
sure.
the Germans.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And then the Germans treated you, or the British treated you guys bad and sided with the Muslims.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Because it was, you know, Ben Gurion said one thing. Now there's the Second World War.
Right.
So we have, and they are against the Jewish, the German are against the Jewish. So we have to enjoy fighting with the British against the German. At the same time, we have also to take care for ourselves about the future. That we want to get independence.
To be independent. Let me ask you, what is it? Now, did you fought with them? You did. We talked a little bit about what you did, which you'll explain to the listeners here in a minute. But how does that make you feel that you helped the British fight the Germans, and then they turned their back on you? Did you ever? Like, did you guys talk about this? Were you angry because you were stabbed in the back?
We were very, very angry, and we tried, you know. By the way, from time to time, there were British officers that they support us.
Ord Wingate was one of those.
Yeah,
and if for the listeners, you should look up Ord Wingate. He was a great man. He was a God-fearing man.
Mm-hmm.
He read the Bible a lot.
Yeah.
And let me say this. I'm going to jump in here real quick, because I know folks would rather listen to you. But I want you folks to listen to this, because you cannot go against God's people. You need to make it hear it very clearly. You cannot come against the Jewish people and think for one second. You take the side of Islam in any way. You want to make peace with Islam? There are Americans that come to this country and say, we need to make peace with the Muslims. And let me tell you, I know Islam, and they want every Jew gone from this country. They've declared it. It's on all over the internet. It's in the media. You cannot side with Islam and say you love Israel. Because now the British, and there are going to be some people that may disagree with this, but Islam runs Europe. And they slay the soldiers, the British soldiers in the street, and the British do nothing about it. They can paint a pretty picture all they want and say they're in control, but they are not. You cannot turn your back on God's people. I cannot emphasize that enough, Joseph. I cannot emphasize it. this world, God will remove His hand of mercy from any country that comes against this, against the Jewish people. Anyway, I just wanted to, it upsets me that I didn't know this history. But sir, I will tell you, I will bleed on Jewish land to stand with you in your fight for sovereignty and security. I respect you, sir. I appreciate you. I didn't mean to go into all that, but I love this country and I love the people here. So, Americans, you better listen up. Don't you side with Islam. Don't you side with the liberals. You fight for your independence in the United States. And if need be, I know a lot of Americans that will come here and fight Islam with the Jewish people. The political correctness, the government will not defend the Jewish people like the Jewish people themselves. They will never make concessions till they're gone. And it needs to be said. It needs to be heard. And some of the Jews that are liberal, that are left-wing in this country, turn against their own people. I just went to an event last night where these Christians came, and I don't believe they're Christians, but they came and said, oh, we went into the Gaza Strip. We want to make peace with everyone. It will never come on Islam's terms. When the Messiah comes and Islam is destroyed, that's when and only when there will be peace. Anyway, back to Joseph. It's my show, so I get to say what I want. And if the leftist Jews and the liberals in the United States of America don't like it, we're going to find out I'm right. But I invite you to come get some. Anyway, so I don't want to... Joseph, I just can't imagine going through all that. After you fight with these people. Now, you're right. There were good British. Ord Wingate, what a great man. Did you actually ever get to meet him?
No, I didn't.
But you heard about him?
Yeah, sure. It's not only loved him. We admired.
Admired him.
Yeah. And really, I don't remember. Only him, or it was another person that he taught us many things how to
He taught you many things.
Yeah. He was killed here.
He actually was killed in Burma, I think. Maybe. I know he's buried in Arlington National Cemetery in the United States.
Because one of them, now really, I forget.
No, it's okay.
No, my age.
How old are you, by the way? How old are you?
How old are you?
Ken.
As I told you, 86 and
86. You're sharp as a tack. You look good, too.
Thanks.
You look about 20 years younger.
Thanks. I don't remember. Maybe it was Wingate, or maybe it was another one, but maybe it is. So he was with us, and he taught us how to use weapons and how to manage fight against the enemy. And he came to, he was in a camp with us, or in area that he is with us. When he arrived at night, so he needed to say some
code.
Yeah, and the soldiers that he that he was in charge to take care for nobody it comes, he thought that he is maybe in Arabic or something like that.
Yeah.
So he shot and he killed him.
Wow.
But I don't remember if it was Wingate or it was another one. And earlier.
Joseph, we're going to take a break. Sorry to interrupt you. I'm just trying to keep my tongue. Listen, I want to say, Joseph, we're going to come right back. Thank you. We're going to continue on. I want to say thank you to America's Web Radio for allowing Insight to Israel to come to the grassroots of the United States. We'll be right back.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
Leading the Way features the Bible-teaching ministry of Dr. Michael Youssef, the founding pastor of the Church of the Apostles in Atlanta. I hope that you'll make plans to join us each week when we're privileged to share two recent messages that I know will encourage you in your faith. You'll also learn more about the worldwide outreach of Leading the Way to more than 200 countries and in more than 20 different languages. So join us right here for Leading the Way.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
This is what's happened with me, and we are fighting. And he wanted, and that also he wanted.
Wow. So let me recap for the listeners. This guy wanted to go in your place, and you said, no, it's my turn.
Yeah.
And you argued about it. And then the commander said, look, he's hard-headed. It's just... let him go instead of you going.
Yeah, that's right.
And so he went in your place because you let him, mm-hmm. and he got killed in a bus accident.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Now, another, it was, I was in the bus with new immigrants.
You were on the bus again.
Yeah. We near Haifa, there is a junction that you call a checkpost.
A checkpoint. Yeah.
So from time to time, British, they stopped the bus and they check the people inside to see if there is somebody that he...
is not supposed to be in the country. Yeah, it's an immigrant.
An immigrant. So... and there were, I was in that bus, and the new immigrants were at the end of the bus, and we told them one thing, in case that they catch you, so please don't say anything about
everyone else, yeah.
Because they will send you back, that's it. But if they catch us, and you will say, you know, Joseph, he's
brought me here.
Yeah, so they will take us as a prisoner. Okay, so a British soldiers, one of them comes into the bus, and our people, they. MZFU to the dude. They made the ID.
They had false ID.
Yeah, okay. So they gave them, the soldier, he chooked everything. Sure. For him, it was okay. But he felt something
was wrong.
And he saw, and I was behind the... driver bus, and I watch on the mirror what's going
uh-huh.
on the back.
Yeah,
they show that they are all the time here faces. It comes to me.
They are all the time looking at you.
Yeah, and the soldier felt something, so he started to ask me a question. Where are you from? Okay, I told him. So.
What is your business here?
I came from the kibbutz. What for? Vacation. Okay, why you are in the kibbutz? So I told him, because I like the kibbutz. I like to be a farmer.
Right.
So that's it. This is the reason that I am there. And anything else that you can tell me? I told him no. So he told me by this way. I am an Irishman, and good luck. And he left.
Wow.
He didn't say anything. So he understood that something is here, but...
because the British and the Irish had problems.
Yeah.
And so he knew there was something, and so that's why he let you go.
That's it.
Wow. 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 You know, people that are listening... I love the people that listen to this program. They're the best. I get emails all the time. But I wish they were here to look at you and see the story that you're telling me. This is amazing. Wow. God has been good to you.
Thank you.
Wow. Wow.
Now, did I tell you about three shells that left, that we were in at the Knan. It was, you know...
You're in the Eknon.
Yeah.
Where is this?
Close to Safat.
Close to Safat.
Yeah, Canaan.
Canaan. Yeah. The Canara?
No. It's a mountain.
Okay.
That is very, very close to Safat.
Okay.
We were there. So, it was a village that it called Enzetim.
Enzetim.
So, may I try to show you the situation that we were?
Yeah.
It was, for example, Safat is here. The mountain of Canaan, it was here.
Ken.
It's higher than Safat. And Enzetim, it was here. So I, as a commander, and another one that was with me, and about another eight people that we needed to take care for it. Now, another mountains, they were in front of us, and all the time they shoot to us. Now
they shot at you.
They shot it. Yeah. So and to give us food, it was a road that it comes to us because we were down, and when the car is come to give us food, so they started to shoot.
They shoot at you.
Yeah. So at that time we had also a hill, so we shot at them and they shot at us.
Wow.
And the car, it went to the village.
Okay.
Okay, so we were only few. And I had there three shells.
Three bullets,
that 3 inches.
3-inch bullets.
Know, that you are putting them on the pipe.
I know what you're talking about. Grenade launcher.
Okay. This is what I had. So they told me you have to keep them, not to use them, only when we tell you.
It's an, right.
Yeah. Okay. Now we were on this hill, and
let me stop there. It wasn't a grenade launcher for the listeners. It was a mortar round. You have the pipe on the ground. You drop it down inside, and it launches it.
Yeah. That's
okay.
It.
Okay.
That's it. Now, but because we were few, we couldn't remain on the hill that he kept the road that bring us food.
Right.
So at night, we left that hill, and we came back to the village that we kept it
to get food.
Yeah, and no, we slept, you know, on the village, and every morning we climbed to that hill. That it was keeping, you know, the way to give us food. But we knew that maybe we are leaving it at night at that hill, so maybe they will come at night and
right.
They will be on that hill, on that mountain. So we put it in one place, Yechamrim Mokesh.
It blows from the ground.
It blew up a landmine.
Yeah, if you
buried underneath of the dirt.
Yeah, on one place, and we knew that if they come they will catch that hill.
Right, then they'll step on the landmine,
yeah,
and you'll know that they're there.
That time we will know.
Yeah.
That they catch this, and now we are around us are Arabs that they came, they're not Israeli Palestinian Arabs.
Right.
It comes along from abroad.
Right. They're Arabs that came from another country.
Yeah,
to...
that's it. So, okay. So now we were closed. No food comes to us. And they, after a week or something like that, it was decision that they are going to release that mountain that the Arabs catch, Kent Tafsur, Kent Tafsur. Okay, now I got from the radio an order, so please, you can now use these three
shells.
But you have to send one that they, in the morning, about 5 o'clock, before, you know, the sun rise.
Right.
And use one of them. I had also machine gun, so I was the command. I was the second person that helped, who was going to use...
The mortar.
The mortar. And also to the second one that... to use the with the machine gun,
can,
and to give an order to six people that I sent them outside to like that they are going to attack.
Right, that they act like they're going to attack.
Yeah, at that time, about for 30 people, they have to come because on that hill they were about 50 Arabs. They catch this area that we left at night.
They overtook it, that hill.
Yeah. So, and my duty, Ketafkit, my duty, it was to, in the morning, they are still sleeping, the Arabs there. So, I am going to attack them. So, what they are going to do?
While they're sleeping.
Yeah. No, yeah, they are waking up and start, you know, to attack me back.
Right.
And at that time, so the other group of 30 people, they came from behind them.
Ah, flank. It's what they call flank.
Yeah. Okay. So I, as I told you, I have only three. I put one of them, it comes down, fails.
It didn't go off?
No.
Wow.
And, okay, so, you know, you have to wait because maybe there's delay.
Right.
So otherwise, you know, it can be explosion. Okay, took, you know, the pipe, throw it away, and arrange again the situation that it has to go there. And I used the second one. Also was fails.
Wow, it failed too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so at that time I gave an order to the machine gun to start, and that six people that they had, you know, a very small machine gun. It's you know, the distance of the bullet is 60 meter.
Right.
And the enemy there, it is about 300-400 meter far from us.
Wow.
But it's only to make noise.
Right, right.
Okay, so we start, started to shut, and they waked up, they started to shut to us, and I used the third one, also it was fails.
Oh, wow.
So you can... You can ask me, how come? If you remember, I told you that we, during the time that the British were here, so we put ammunition and...
You hid ammunition, made ammunition?
Underground.
Yeah.
So they got wet.
Ah, wow.
And three...
They failed.
That's it.
Wow, what did you do?
Nothing. But, okay, nothing. That's it. But, you know, the group that they were came behind them.
Right.
They arrived almost 10, 15 meters behind them, and they started, you know, to shoot of them. Many of them killed, and the other ran away. Nobody damaged to me. But
wow.
But later, no, they told me, you know, because you didn't arrange everything, you know, on time.
Right.
It was 5 o'clock in the morning, so it was only 2-3 minutes.
Yeah.
But it was very crisis. I can
crucial.
Yeah. Cautious.
Cautious.
Crucial.
Yeah.
Yes.
Crucial. It was very crucial.
Yeah. Because they could, you know,
discover
the people that they are coming from
come
behind.
From
them.
Behind, yeah.
And then they are on the top, and they are, so it could be something.
Yeah.
Bad.
Wow.
But.
Thank God. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing that you had those three shells not go off, and still they were coming at you, and then those guys could come from behind. Wow. You've got some great stories, Joseph. I wish that I had 4 or 5 radio shows. I'm going to bring you back another time, though. But you've been very blessed in life and in circumstances that most men would have probably died in, you know. So let me ask you this: moving forward, tell me real briefly. We have a few minutes left. So now you're out of the Palmach. The Palmach turns into the Israeli Defense Force.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when did you finally stop fighting? How old were you?
How old I was when we started to fight?
No,
how
finished.
Old when you were finished?
Finished. It was 1.5 year after we got our independence. Mm-hmm. So all the period time, it was for 5.5 years.
5.5 years
that I've been in the Palmach.
Wow.
Four years before we got our independence. So at that time, you know, study how to use how to fight.
Yeah.
And also I teach. Other students, and after at that time when the independence war it's finished, so it was on the newspaper. If somebody feels that he can help the new immigrants that comes from Yemen,
right?
So he can. He can come, and we will check if he's
qualified.
So we will release him 6 months before.
So you went to help new immigrants?
Yeah. So I.
So that's what you went to do?
Yeah. This was so I accepted it at me. I
represent. Introduced yourself.
Yeah. And they checked that I can. So at that time, I worked with the new immigrants as a teacher.
Yeah.
Three years.
Yeah, wow.
And after that, I told them that please release me.
It's time to do something else.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I would like, you know, to continue my study, because my study the whole life, it wasn't, you know, like other people that are going, you know, from one class to other class and so on.
Yeah.
And somebody, he met me at that time, and he asked me, you know, maybe in the Ministry of Defense, they are looking for people that they have a top secret.
Yes,
so they can trust them.
Right.
Okay. So I told them, you know, I am going to be a clerk. This is not for me. I need more action. But
right, you need more action. Exactly.
Okay, so I decided I am going to a temporary time. This temporary, it took 40 years.
Wow. You were in there for 40 years?
40 years.
Wow. Were you in the Mossad?
No, but I was...
In intelligence?
No. I became at the Mahlaka department, a department that was in charge for the whole import and export for the Israeli military.
For the Israeli military?
Yeah.
Wow.
During, so, at that time, you know, if you could ask me if the ship is going, you know, by air or the air, the airplane is going by sea, so I didn't know really what going to be there.
Wow.
But
wow.
I studied immediately, and I was involved with many, many things. 20 years it was. After 20 years, the boss of my boss, he told him that he wants me to go and to be a manager of the food department.
Nice.
And it was 1 year before Yom Kippur war.
Right. Wow.
And really, my boss, he told him that Joseph, he doesn't want, and that I didn't know anything about that. So about 5 or 6 months, he's going to my boss and ask him, you know, I want Joseph to come and to manage the department food.
Wow.
So once I'm coming to his boss and he told me, Joseph, please sit. Tell me why you don't want. Told me, don't want what? So told me, I am asking for you to come and to be food department manager. I don't know anything. Okay, so your boss didn't tell you anything? No. And really, I appreciate what you're asking, what you are suggesting me to come here. Okay. Then he called my boss and he asked me, he said what he wanted to say. Now my boss came to me. Why you want to leave me? Tell me, if somebody comes to you and asks you also to go to a higher level, what did you do? You say no? Okay, so he told me, okay, one thing, you know, I have problems in this table and that table. Finish all the problems with the people that they are around you. Check everything, because I was involved with everything.
Right.
And after that, he made a very nice party. It took about 3 months to clear tables of other clerks and the department, and I went to I have been, you know, the food department manager. It was 1 year before Yom Kippur war.
Wow.
Before that, I continue, and maybe you want to leave or something like that. I'm going to tell you something that you can think what you want. A month or 2 months after I married, so my wife, she told me, you know, there is an old woman that she is relative to us, to me, and in Jerusalem. What do you think that we go and visit her? Okay. So let's go. As we arrived here, and I go inside, still standing, you know, she told me, by this way, three words: your luck in food.
Wow.
Mazal shelcha b'mazon.
Wow. That's amazing.
I told myself, she didn't say anything. What's your name? Nothing.
Yeah, she didn't know anything about you.
Nothing. Okay. I told, if I'm going, you know, to be as grocery. If I'm going to be in grocery, I am sure that I will succeed. But I'm not going to be there. in grocery. It's for me. Okay, it took 20 years until my boss, the boss of my boss, asked me to come.
Wow.
So it was 11 years. Include Yom Kippur War, that 550,000 people, they were involved with the war. And I was in charge to buy the food for all of them every day. 11 years I was there. After that, I came back to manage the shipping department. I didn't have even one mistake.
Wow.
One mistake. 11 years. I arrange everything very, very, and people, some other managers, they told me, no, Joseph is so quiet. He is so this. How come he will manage, you know, this sensitive department? Some department, Mahlaka?
Okay.
So, we mentioned, you know, the God.
Ken, so, absolutely.
That's it. Edward.
Well, Joseph, you have had a fantastic life, and I wish folks could know more, because it makes us look at our own selves, makes us look in the mirror and say, what have I had to go through? What do I have to complain about? What do I have to appreciate more in my life that's important? And you have obviously been blessed enough that God's brought you to the place where you've been able to do that for yourself, because many people don't. They don't look in the mirror and realize how blessed they are. So, Joseph, thank you very much again for inviting me into your home and for Iris interpreting where we needed it. Your wife has been a gracious hostess, you and your wife both. And I certainly do appreciate the time, sir.
Okay.
Listen, this is America's Web Radio that is bringing to you Insight to Israel. And there's so much we can learn from people who are much more seasoned than we are. And I hope that each one of you have got...